Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to another episode of Humanitas. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich. And this morning's show is entitled Growing Up Absurd. I've taken the title of the show from a book published in 1960 by Paul Goodman. This particular book was written over 50 years ago, and in this book, Paul Goodman analyzes the causes and effects of what some have called the disgrace of the organized system or society, of semi-monopolies, of government itself. Advertisers or advertising, etc. And it also, in a very trenchant manner, deals with the disaffection of the growing generation during that time. For Paul Goodman, the unhappiness of young people was a concentrated form of the unhappiness of American society as a whole, run by corporations that provide work, but not the kind of work that is meaningful or that engages body and soul. Paul Goodman deals with the fatal lack of purpose and idealism. And so, hence his title, Growing Up Absurd. And absurd is defined state or condition in which human beings exist in an irrational and meaningless universe, in which life has no ultimate meaning. We live in a time in which we see the result of the demise of absolutes. We live in a time in which we see the result of radical relativism. And I'm going to say it this way, absolute radical relativism. I know it sounds contradictory, but this seems to be the moral absolute that is extant today. And it seems to be the operational ethic that has been disseminated to the young. It is interesting to me that last week we have a friend who is a marriage and family therapist at a local school in my community who related to us that fourth graders are reading romance novels filled with sex, violence, and intrigue. Let me restate, fourth graders. It was this same individual who related to us earlier that when she talks to young people, and I'm talking about elementary school children, et cetera, middle school children, about their consumption of alcohol, the reply she gets from them in mass is, or collectively is, well, why would you want to take away from me the only thing that allows me to survive what goes on in my home? There is a poignancy about the youth. There is an immediacy about the youth. Long ago, when I was in college, I was told by a professor of philosophy that the artists point to the future. And at the beginning of the information age, he and I discussed what would be the new frontier in philosophy. And very poignantly, he stated to me that it would be information. And at the time of our discussion, I had no idea of what this would become and how this would so fundamentally transform culture in my day. There was another French writer that I read long ago who, he was an attorney and a philosopher, and he was also a very astute social observer. And he stated that he wrote to see if things were so or not. Another old book, Medium is the Massage or the Message. Medium is the Message. And so I am seeing today in the 21st century how these books written in the 20th century are shaping the beginning of the 21st century. And I look at what has happened to the young. I look at some of the young people who are entertainers or singers and see their behavior. And they are telling us about ourselves. We can maintain the veneer of the hypocrisy no longer, because their actions and their behavior are a striptease of where we have come. Indeed, another old book by Oz Guinness called The Dust of Death. Our young people have shown us the vapidity and the striptease of humanism. And that humanism, with its moral relativism, has not worked. And so hence, the pandemic spiritual malaise. And yet, there is this attempt to pretend and to act as if these things are not so. And they really are. Book of Amos, written between 760 and 750 BC, deals with a culture that had wealth and leisure. It deals with a culture that had a very great and capable standing army. It deals with a culture in which the wealthy were incredibly abusive of the poor. It also deals with a culture that had betrayed itself by idolatrous practices. And these individuals believed that they could do anything they wanted to do. And they attempted to live out this belief. Now, Amos spoke his words to those of the northern kingdom who were supposed to be the people of God, but as I stated a moment ago, had adopted the worship of indigenous gods and their highly sexualized practices and their highly violent practices. They were grossly inhuman. For their own, toward the poor of their culture. They confiscated the homes of the poor. They confiscated their goods. They abused the young in violent ways, in sexual ways. And so they systematically tore down that which mattered in the culture. Now, I don't know if Paul Goodman read the book of Amos, but he certainly has captured much of the spirit of the book of Amos. Amos deals with the abandonment of God by his people. And Amos tells us that and demonstrates to us that behind radical relativism or the belief that one can do as one chooses without consequences. And here is the moral delusion that must take place when individuals take that step. Of we can do, or I can do, whatsoever I please without consequence. That is what people must overcome, or must set aside, as it were, if they are to take that decisive step into moral relativism. But Amos came into this culture and he spoke about deeds that shape destiny. And the fact that beneath and above, their very thin veil of self-interest and pathological narcissism, there is the reality of the eternal God. And that there may be the attempt on the part of some to proclaim absolutely that there are no moral absolutes, but they indeed must replace, or so in their thinking, divine absolutes with their own type of sinister absolutism. To not be otherwise. And so Amos spoke to this culture about the reality that deeds shape destiny, or act, or he teaches the act result connection. Amos brought to these people the word of God, the word of Yahweh. In Amos chapter 1, verse 1, we read the words of Amos, one of the shepherds of Tekoa, what he saw concerning Israel 2 years before the earthquake, when Uzziah was king of Judah and Jeroboam, son of Jehoash, was king in Israel. He said, "The Lord roars from Zion and thunders from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds dry up. The top of Carmel withers." So in Amos 1:1, the English word words is a transliteration of the Hebrew word debar. The word debar is profoundly powerful in Hebrew theology. Debar means the unity of address and action. Debar means the word, or the word debar carries within itself the unity of incarnative and predictive elements. Debar is address and command, as well as dynamic event. The Debar Yahweh sets the prophet himself in a new situation. The word Debar unleashes a new reality of which the prophetic witness is inescapable and undeniable. Amos goes from his own home in the south into the north to speak to that kingdom about what will transpire if they do not repent of their deeds. In chapter 2, verse 4, we read, this is what the Lord says of Judah, that is, Amos' own home. For three sins of Judah, even for four, I will not turn back my wrath, because they have rejected the law of the Lord and have not kept his decrees, because they have been led astray by false gods, the gods their ancestors followed. I will send fire upon Judah that will consume the fortresses of Judah. That's the southern kingdom. That is the hometown of Amos, as it were, or so to speak. Chapter 6, verse 6 of chapter 2 reads, this is what the Lord says, for three sins of Israel, even for four, I will not turn back my wrath. They sell the righteous for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals. They trample on the heads of the poor as upon the dust of the ground and deny justice to the oppressed. Father and son use the same girl and so profane my holy name. They lie down beside every altar on garments taken in pledge. In the house of their God, they drank wine taken as fine. This book, of Amos, addresses what God would do to these people because of their practices. Notice in chapter 8, verse 5, this is what they say. When will the new moon be over that we may sow grain and the Sabbath be ended, that we may market wheat, skimping the measure, boosting the price, and cheating with dishonest scales, buying the poor with silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, selling even the sweepings with the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, I will never forget anything they have done. Will not the land tremble for this, and all who live in it mourn? The whole land will rise like the Nile. It will be stirred up and then sink like the river of Egypt. Verse 11, the days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of food or thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Listen to this carefully. Men will stagger from sea to sea and wander from north to east, searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. In that day, the lovely young women and the strong young men will faint because of thirst. Because they will not find the word of the living God. This is what has happened in our culture today. The word of the Lord is greatly needed in our society. But the word of the Lord is scarce. Our young people are suffering from a chronic spiritual famine. They are marketed distractions. They are marketed violent games. They are marketed highly sexualized games, or so we are told they're games. They are inducted into idolatry in the most sinister manner. Our children are allowed to read so-called novels with high sexual content. And to what end? And to what end is this done? It is very obvious that this is planned. It is very obvious why this has taken place. Because God has been tossed out of their lives. I'm going to read from Isaiah chapter 3, verse 1. Notice what God does in judgment upon Judah because of their sin. Notice what God does to them. Notice what his judgment takes away. Isaiah 3:1. See now, the Lord the Almighty is about to take from Jerusalem and Judah both supply and support, all supplies of food and all supplies of water, the hero and the warrior, listen carefully, the judge and the prophet, the soothsayer and the elder, the captain of 50 and man of rank, the counselor, skilled craftsman and clever enchanter, I will make boys their leaders. Mere children will govern them. That it's childish individuals. This is not an attack upon children, but childish individuals, childlike. People will oppress each other, man against man, neighbor against neighbor. Sound familiar? The young will rise up against the old, the base against the honorable. A man will seize one of his brothers at his father's home and say, you have a cloak, you be our leader. Take charge of this tell. It is this heap of ruins. A tell, indeed, is a heap of ruins that rises from the floor of the plain. And archaeologists discovered in the ancient Near East how civilizations built on top of the ruins of one another. Take charge of this heap of ruins. What are our young people telling us today? They live in a tell. Oh. But you say, classically, archaeologists mean something different. Yes? But I'm talking about a spiritual tell, a spiritual heap of ruins. Because God has been tossed out of their lives. He has been removed from their awareness. He has been removed as a central figure of focus of their lives. They fight against prayer, and they defend causes that abuse their usefulness because they don't know, because they have been manipulated. They have believed the propaganda because they have nothing against which to measure what they are hearing. They are told heinous things, and God sees the result and the results of this action. I live in a community in which we're building new buildings to house our children who have mental health issues, to talk about the algorithms that will be used, and there's some talk about the medications that will be used to help them. Very little talk or discussion has to do with the spiritual reality and the spiritual lack that is not being addressed, the spiritual need. God help us if we do not stop this mad dash toward those things which do not satisfy, which do not edify, things which mean nothing, but rather hollow out the hearts of persons. We need to look at this again. We need to begin rebuilding the foundation for the sake of our children and for ourselves too. We need courageous ones to stand that we may get back to God and do those things that are required of us, of Him. May God bless you. I'll speak with you again next time on the Matacos. Have a wonderful day.